Guys, we talked yesterday about the Flames forward group being unchanged, and that's still the case today for the most part. They are making some subtle changes around the fringes. They're looking a little bit deeper over the last few days than they did prior in their bottom six. Certainly when we saw that Reeder and Jankowski and a few other guys have left, you're like, okay, are they going to be going with Buddy Robinson and Zach Rinaldo as everyday forwards next year? Well, enter a couple of one-year NHL minimum salaries. First, it was Joachim Nordstrom earlier in the week, one-year $700,000. And today, Dominic Simone signs for one-year $700,000. Pretty solid numbers for a guy coming in on NHL minimum. So it's the second signing like that in a week. And Will, we'll definitely revisit the fact that the core group of forwards, the impact forwards, looks exactly the same as it did last year. But certainly, I do like the way they're backfilling things, and without really affecting their salary cap at all, there's another deal that probably means that they aren't going to have Zach Rinaldo or Buddy Robinson being everyday NHL fourth-line players. What do we think of the latest signing for the Calgary Flames?
Yeah, I know a lot of people were kind of looking at it and saying, well, Buddy Robinson got a one-way deal, so he's in the NHL. That doesn't necessarily mean he's in the NHL. I could still see it very realistically that he is playing in the American Hockey League, and really, Pat, all the guys you had mentioned as dismissals, these have now been essentially replacements in Simone and Nordstrom for Reeder and Jankowski. I see this as a lot similar to a guy like Reeder. I think, you know, he's not going to wow you with the offensive numbers. He can skate. But this is kind of, you know, based on the cap situation they're in, the economic climate in the NHL, Pete, this is kind of the signings they're going to have to make. And again, to Pat's point, it's not maybe the sexy ones that you're looking at in free agency, but it's certainly signings and adequate replacements for guys like Reeder and Jankowski, because you're not taking flyers, all due respect, on a guy like Buddy Robinson or a Glenn Godden, you know, guys that aren't NHL forwards. You've now brought in NHL forwards to take those jobs.
Yeah, and I would suggest that Nordstrom and Simone is an upgrade over Jankowski and Tobias Reeder. Not a substantial one, but it's an upgrade. And when you're looking at making your team better,
do we know that? Like, how do we know that?
How do we know what
that is an upgrade? And I only ask that because, I mean, like, Reeder was pretty good for the team last year.
Oh, no, totally. Yeah, no, I don't mean it to be dismissive of Tobias Reeder. I believe that you now have a Tobias Reeder replacement in Simone, and I will take Nordstrom over Jankowski pretty well every day of the week. Okay. I feel pretty comfortable in saying that, like I said, it's not absolutely earth-shatteringly all of a sudden, hey, look at the Flames. But I think when you look at those two moves, the Flames come out on top in that situation. And when you are in the financial situation the entire league is in, and you can't go out and just spend willy-nilly on free agents, this is, I think, a pretty smart way of improving your team. It's not going to be the difference between the Stanley Cup and making the third round, but you've added a couple of guys with playoff experience who you can trust in a lot of different situations. So, Pat, I like what they've done so far.
Yeah, I mean, again, it's not something that's going to put this team over the top. We're going to hear from Dominic Simone coming up later on this hour, around 2:30. We'll hear from the newest member of the Calgary Flames, as he's in the Czech Republic right now. He signs for 1 year, $700,000. I like this signing. I don't, like, you're probably looking at a couple of bottom six players that have been brought in, and it's interesting that they go with, and I see some of the texts on the text line, and it hadn't really occurred to me until I read the text line, but Klein, it's funny, Penguins say goodbye to Simone and sign Jankowski, the Flames say bye to Jankowski and sign Simone. I thought that was kind of interesting, and I don't think that we need to read that much into it, because I really don't. First of all, the Flames and Jankowski were going in a different direction, and he had asked for a change in scenery, and who knows what happened with Pittsburgh and Simone. But I don't know if we read, I personally don't read too much into that, but I found that kind of interesting. But the other thing that I find interesting about Simone is that he, you know, we talk about him as a Reeder replacement, or we talk about him as a Jankowski replacement. You know who he played almost all of his time with at 5-on-5 last year?
Sidney Crosby.
Yeah. Like, so that's kind of interesting to me that he ends up, he comes away
it's
with
the Pittsburgh model, though, really.
It really is. That's what they tend to have. usually one really high-end finisher. Like Gensel spent a lot of time with Crosby, and then they usually put somebody else on that line. But 22 points in 64 games, and the year before, 28 points in 71 games. So there's a little bit of offense there. But I find that interesting that, you know, he's going to come from being on that role and being kind of on a number one line with the best player on the planet, and now pretty firmly probably going to be coming into a bottom six role with the Calgary Flames, Klein.
Yeah, and that's certainly going to be a bit of an adjustment, but I still like the experience that he brings playing in that type of a situation. I'm not going to say, well, just put him with Gaudreau and Monahan because he's used to it, and now you can spread things out. The Flames are built a little differently than the Pittsburgh Penguins, but I still think that the experience that he can bring and having a bit of that flexibility, like Tobias Reeder, when it was Matthew Tkachuk who went down with an injury, they moved Tobias Reeder up in the lineup. I would imagine something similar could happen with a Simone. And Will, you don't go out and sign a guy for $700,000 and think, well, if someone gets hurt, we can just put him on our top line and it'll be fine. But it's someone who, in a pinch, you feel okay with moving up and down your lineup.
Yeah, for sure. And I think in short spurts, you're fine with it. I don't think you're comfortable if Don McSimone is playing, because remember, all due respect for, you know, Monahan and Gaudreau, none of those guys are Crosby. So I certainly don't know it's something you're comfortable with for 3 months. But yeah, I think in a pinch, he's a guy that can move up and down your lineup for sure.
Got you could easily put him on a line with Nordstrom and Ryan if you wanted to go like that. I looked at, like, I think a line of Derek Ryan, Milan Lucic, Joachim Nordstrom, just put them, never play them anywhere outside their defensive zone. Use them only defensively. I they do just fine. Go Simone between Bennett or Dubé, or have Bennett between Simone and Dubé. There's interesting options.
Yeah, it's interesting that he's listed as a center, but he's only taken 75 career faceoffs in 173 games.
Mostly a winger in the NHL.
Yes.
Yeah, I do like the idea of there being basically like a lacrosse line, where as soon as it comes out of the defensive zone, they just rush off for a change. I kind of like that idea.
Well, I mean, they can still go and play. They can finish their shift whenever the shift finishes, but just face-offs only in the defensive zone. Use him like Vancouver used Manny Malhotra his entire career. Hey, hey, you know what? Offensive zone face-off, anybody but Manny. Defensive zone face-off, doesn't matter who's out there, Malhotra go out, win the face-off, and get it out of her zone. That's legitimately what he did for like 4 years in Vancouver. Couple of texts at 960-960 before we move on to kind of the ancillary topic on this one. Says, I know you played with Crosby, but here's Lucic and Bennett. I don't... That's kind of mean. This says Simone comes in with good work ethic. Mike says Simone played with Crosby a lot. I look at his statistics with a grain of salt. Instead, he'll be playing on the fourth line with a Derek Ryan, most likely. For the record, I like Tobias Reeder more from his PTO all the way through the playoffs. Still disappointed Treliving couldn't find a way to keep him. I don't look at the Flames and Reeder. Like, I was a huge fan of Reeder last year, and I think that he did more than I ever expected him to do on the team, and proved a lot of people wrong on that signing, myself included. I really liked Reeder, and I don't think that what he did and his work on the PK is super easily replaced, but at the same time, I also realize that we're talking about a bottom six forward and a guy who is spending, you know, 11, 12 minutes on the ice per game, so yes, it's not impossible to replace at the same time. But this text says Pat's in love with Reeder, lol. No, he's not Backlund. Well, there's only one guy who gets the love on that team quite like that. It's not Reeder.
Nordstrom's close, though.
I do like Nordstrom's like...
Sorry, Lindholm.
Lindholm is really close.
Yes,
like,
sorry.
Really close.
I was trying to go back to yesterday where we were declaring that Pat's love with Swedish center iceman.
Logo giving giving Lindholm a C minus on his...
You gave him an F. I couldn't believe he gave him an F. It's unbelievable.
Just kidding. Logo gave him a B. I think you gave him a B minus. Will went B minus. I went A, and Logo went B. Is that accurate?
Correct.
Klein, care to give your grade just before we move on?
I'm much more in the A category than anything with it. I'll go with an A as well.
It got a little testy on the Flames roundtable yesterday. That's why I just wanted to see where you fell in on it. Yeah,
I just needed popcorn, Pete. That's all I needed.
Got a little.
Oh, okay.
Logo, despite only being one letter grade apart,
I know.
I went back and forth on.
We had a line at first.
at first blush, Klein's like, wow, Will wasn't involved. Stunning. I know. I was on the, yeah, the sideline.
That did just rip Kurt a little bit. Now, I worked with these guys all summer, and there was like 15 minutes where I didn't know if these guys would talk again over an Aho Marner debate. But I am a little surprised when I heard things got testy. It was, okay, what did Will do? But no, I'm happy it mixed up a little bit.
We are underway on hour two of the big show. It's Pat Steinberg, Will Nault, Peter Klein, Logan Gordon on the board. We're live in our iconic studio powered by Iconic Electric and Controls. Integrity, it's iconic. Contact them today at iconicec.ca. Guys, let's double back on the conversation about the forward group being unchanged thus far. By the way, Will is in love with the text talking about offer sheet. Somebody suggests the Flames should offer sheet Elias Pettersson. And also this Dennis Gurianov, they should have thrown an offer sheet on him. Will yeah, loves and then there's texts.
And there's one text that comes in every day asking about Dubois. If you think Dubois is going to sign out of where Columbus, like, come on, people. Dubois is an RFA. He's not leaving Columbus. So we can stop with what's happening with Dubois, or the Flames should get Dubois. That's not happening. And number two, Duclair's a free agent. So I couldn't tell you what's happening with his camp. Anyways.
Yeah.
I just thought... You yeah. really love the idea of Gurianov being offer sheeted. You're like, you know, they yeah, should especially have done that. You're right.
Gurianov for $3 million. We should have offer sheeted him. Yes, you're right. Because Dallas wouldn't have just let him walk away for that money. You're right.
I do want to double back on that conversation that we had yesterday about this time. And it's funny because we talk about the Flames having not really made any significant moves at forward. And here they are today. They go out, they sign Simone. So that's a second player that they've brought in at forward. But in terms of their top six forwards, in terms of their impact making forwards, yeah, still relatively untouched. And so I was thinking about this last night, and I thought it was a perfect way to get into the conversation, knowing that they did sign another player today. I'm wondering, guys, like, have there been any opportunities missed for the Calgary Flames? And I'm curious because there's Tyler Toffoli is a name that people thought, hey, that'd be an interesting target for the Flames. Toffoli signed in Montreal. Josh Anderson's a guy who had been tied to the Calgary Flames for years. And as Elliot Friedman has reported, the Flames were in on him and very much coveted him and tried to bring him in before he was traded to also Montreal. And there's Taylor Hall, who we found out the Flames were had interest in and were courting him in free agency, but he decided to go to Buffalo. So Klein, and maybe I'm missing some others in there, and I don't even know if those count for you as missed opportunities. Those are just three that come to mind. But have they missed any opportunities to this point for you? Is there actual reason for criticism in terms of them not being able to make those big changes up front?
Well, the Anderson one, it doesn't sound like it was a lack of trying. And then when you look at what Montreal ends up giving up with Domi and a third, I don't know if I would have been comfortable with the Flames equivalent of that. The Taylor Hall one year at $8 million, maybe you could try to make that one work. The Toffoli one is kind of the one that jumps out to me because of how reasonable that contract is at $4.25 million a season for 4 years. I understand he's probably not winning any fastest skater competitions, but signing him to 4.25 through his age 32, 33 season, I think that's incredibly reasonable and a great value for Montreal. So when I see, Will, some of the forward contracts that have been handed out, that's the one that kind of stands out to me as the, oh, that would have been good to try to get in on that one.
Yeah, and it goes back to, I guess, my big point from the last couple of days, Pat, and that's, you know, the Flames going after Markstrom as hard as they did, and you know, that would lead to some of the missed opportunities you're talking about. And the reason I say that is the cash base was kind of eaten up there. Not that, you know, Markstrom took all of it, but certainly it was a big chunk of it, and that seemed to be their primary goal, was to figure out goaltending, to get that guy, to get their guy. And their guy who they identified was Jacob Markstrom. And then, of course, later on that day, they spent another $4.5 million on Chris Tanev. And you know what I've been talking. I've been talking about Tyler Toffoli for a while. That's a contract, and that value is certainly one that I think the Flames could have got their hands on. To Pete's point, I don't think the Anderson thing was a lack of trying. And the Taylor Hall contract on 1 year, it sounds like there are some teams that had things on the table, and you know, he didn't want to wait around for teams to move money out. And to your bigger point about the Flames and the forward group, Pat, you say there are some things that you believe are still in the holster and still to come. So maybe Calgary was also in that group when it comes to Taylor Hall. So I think all in all, maybe there were some missed opportunities only because of the way they went about their business in free agency. But if the Markstrom signing works out the way that many are hoping it's going to, then maybe this is a conversation where we're talking about that it wasn't missed opportunities because they got their guy and they answered the questions they had internally, even though I don't feel that should have been their number one priority.
Yeah, I don't know if I do feel like they truly have missed any opportunities. I mean, maybe on the Toffoli front, maybe that would be the one that I could definitely have some time for. But I don't think that choosing to sign Markstrom and dealing with that as opposed to having the room to sign Hall for 1 year, like I'd lean Markstrom every day if those were the two choices. So I didn't have a problem with that. And even still, I mean, knowing what the Flames had to figure out, I don't know if a 1x8 was necessarily in their ballpark. So I don't know. Like I didn't look at that as a missed opportunity. I certainly don't look at the Josh Anderson trade as a missed opportunity for the Flames. As we're led to believe, it was a bigger deal that the Flames were working on. So I wonder what that might have looked like. But what Montreal had to give up for Anderson, and then what Montreal signed the guy to, I don't really feel like there have been any massive swings and misses or situations where Brad Treliving should have been in there and how could he not have gone and got that guy. Like I don't really see it like that to this point, because I don't know if free agent forwards were necessarily the number one target for the team. The guy that I was interested in maybe most was Dadonov. So I guess that, you know, what he signed for in Ottawa, I guess you could say, you know, maybe there's a case to be made that there was a missed opportunity. But what really interests me, guys, is the fact that this is an offseason that is so different and so strange and so unprecedented that I really believe that, and we talked a little bit about this yesterday, I really believe that if you're going to make the type of move that the Flames are rumored to be trying to make, or that we've talked about them needing to make, I think it takes a little bit of time. I think you have to really put in a whole lot more of a grind, a whole lot more groundwork to be able to move a guy in a quote-unquote hockey trade, Will. If you're going to move a Gaudreau, or if you're going to move a Monahan in a hockey trade, I don't think those are as easy to make in 24 or 48 hours. It might take weeks or a month to get something like that done, just when you have to work into account all of the other things that go along with managing a hockey team in the middle of a pandemic.
Yeah, especially when, you know, all these ARB cases are kind of getting solved right now, and every insider you talk to, every team is kind of doing their internal business right now, and guys like a Mike Hoffman, who might be the biggest target still available in free agency, are kind of in a waiting period because they're, you know, waiting to see, teams are waiting to see how much money they've potentially got left over to sign or to acquire players. And I think we'll start to see the trade market open up a little bit here in November into December. I just think there's a lot of a holding pattern here. And Pete, we've talked about it so much, just the economics right now in the NHL with the flat cap and with the fact that a lot of owners, you know, maybe don't want to hand out signing bonuses like they had the last previous, you know, 3, 4, 5 off seasons. We're seeing that bit of a slow right now. And again, to Pat's overarching point, a trade involving your star players, if you're going to shake up your core group, it's not something you want to do quickly, because these are not trades you just make overnight. And you know, these are trades that drastically change the landscape of your team. And you want to make sure that you're doing your due diligence and making sure you're getting the best available return that is potentially out there for you.
Absolutely, yeah. You obviously want to do that as much as possible. And I think one of the other things holding it up is one of the biggest trading events of the year, the National Hockey League draft. Everyone was still kind of figuring out how they were going to manage this world where the salary cap wasn't going up and we were staying at $81.5 right. million. Dollars. And all of a sudden, now everyone's kind of had about a month to realize, okay, this is what it's going to look like. This is what we can do. This is what we can't do. And so now maybe things pick up a little bit, but it's not going to be like regular off seasons because the draft is gone and you don't have that big trading bonanza that it's been for the Flames over the last couple of years. I think it's going to take some creativity to get this kind of thing done. We've seen people suggesting different things with Vegas and how they could move Marc-Andre Fleury's number. That's not going to happen anymore. But some of those creative options where you include another team just to retain some salary and they get a pick out of it, like Toronto tried to do or successfully did at the trade deadline. Maybe it takes something like that. But teams are going to have to get very creative. And that just adds even more onto the plate when you're trying to make a move as big as the one we're talking about, Pat.
I'll say this, though, and to Will's point yesterday, and I think it's 100% bang on. Like, I believe they're trying, and I believe they will be able to make a significant move and a significant trade to alter their group of forwards for next year. I do believe they will be able to do that. In saying that, if they don't, and if we're talking about them coming back with the same group of impact forwards or same group of core forwards, that's where I think it becomes a little bit more open for criticism, because I don't believe the Flames can go into next season with the same forward group if they also want to be talking about winning a playoff round or two. Like, if they want to be considered a contender, or if they want to look themselves in the mirror and say, we're contenders, I don't think that you can look at what Monahan and Gaudreau and the rest of the core forward group have been able to do. And those are the two guys that come to mind first, fair enough. But, you know, you take a look at Backlund, or even what Lindholm has done, haven't been as good in the playoffs as they need to be, or what we've seen from them in the regular season. And so, but specifically with Monahan and Gaudreau, can you come back with those guys and say that, yeah, we're going to go on a deep playoff run with what we've seen from them in the playoffs? It's hard for me to believe that. So that's why, if we're talking training camp in December or January and it's the same group of forwards, yeah, that's a little open for criticism. But Klein, but before we get there and from now until we get there, I still think there is a chance that they're able to make that move that we're talking about, and thus potentially make them a little bit of a different team.
Yeah, I'm in the concerned category, but I don't know if criticism would be fair at this point. I'm with you. If we go into training camp and it's all right, Gaudreau, Monahan, Lindholm, let's go. It's okay. Well, this is going to end the same way it always has. It just kind of has that feel. But for now, it's just kind of a, if it hasn't happened yet, will it? But I'm not in the necessarily, not really in the business of criticizing because of how different this offseason is. It's tough to make, where we're seeing, Will, it's tough to make those kind of moves right now. It doesn't mean it's not going to happen, just mean it's been tough until this point.
Yeah, and I think that's why I'm so heavily weighted on the concern side, Pat, as we've talked about. I just, you know, I'm hoping and you know, I think there's a chance, or at least, you know, Brad Treliving is going to certainly try his hardest to make some sort of impact move here before the season. I fully believe that. We all know around this table what he is like as a GM. Just the way that the NHL offseason has gone to this point, I'm not overly confident that's going to happen, if that makes any sense.
Right. And I mean, if that's the case, I think that that's a really interesting conversation come training camp, as to if they do come into next season with the same forward group, that's going to be very fascinating. And I wonder how
we asked at the end of last season, right?
What's that?
We asked at the end of last season, can you sell this to your fans? And every one of us, if I'm not mistaken, said
100%,
no.
And I'm right there with you. So that's why I'd be really interested to see what the reaction would be. I just know what the reaction has been on social media and on our text line already, and there's still 2 months or so until we're even there. So if it's 2 months and still nothing happens, that's going to be really interesting to see what the reaction from Flames fans is going to be like.